Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 107 of Star Wars and Scotch. Tim, I think this one's called Vive la Revolution, don't you?
There was a lot of fighting.
That was the beginning of a rebellion right there.
It was really good. Yeah, but I mean, like, okay, we can talk about it there, because there were some lines in there that I really, really liked, especially from the manifesto where he's like, there's garrisons of people who have joined the cause and they have no idea. Like, I thought that was great, because that's what that was. That right there in of itself was like, these people are fighting for a cause they don't even know that they're a part of yet. But go on, so Kevin. Good morning.
So, no, we're going to dive in, because it was just such a good episode. Great way to end it. Set us up for next season. We finally know what they're making in the factory. We'll talk about that as well. But before we go any further, kingscoastcoffee.com, there's a little bit of cocoa left. I will give you that heads up. But on the flip side, Black Friday, by the time you hear this, Black Friday will be this Friday. You'll be able to order Black Friday stuff. I can't tell you what it is, because you have to wait till Black Friday. And then we got 12 days of King's Coast coming up as well. So it's going to be a wonderful holiday season. It's easy gift of delicious
partridge
coffee.
And a pear tree, I swear.
Could you imagine? It's actually a partridge. We mail you a partridge in a pear tree.
That's a bird, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Male bird
and a tree. So kingscoastcoffee.com, make sure you're signed up for everything. The holiday deals are coming and they'll be gone before you know it. And before you know it, you're going to need that last second gift for your boss or your kid's teacher or something. And you're like, coffee, trust me, they'll be happy you did it. And we'll get a new customer out of it. So everybody wins in the end. Kingscoastcoffee.com. There is two major things we have to talk about today: the Andor finale and Disney shakeup. So, Tim, I'd like to start with Andor and dive in, and we'll end.
Saving the Disney shakeups for the end?
Oh, I'm just gonna go.
Oh, Kevin. Okay, yeah, I feel like that's why people tuned in, was to hear us rant about Bob Iger. So
the moment that happened,
praise Bob Iger. So let's not rude. Don't say anything. Because the amount of tweets that I got during the week of people coming into chat, it was so stupid. Everyone's like, what do you think? What do you think? So anyways.
I wasn't talking, but I was in your chat the day that it happened, because that was the day I was laying in bed sick. And I was watching everyone ask you. So I saw it. Andor. Okay. So this episode. it for the first 30 minutes, it was just. Your butt was clenched, because you're like, you didn't think it was just building and building and building. It was like a slow fuse ready to go off the entire first half of the episode.
Yeah, but I was like, there was no like real big buildup. I guess I wasn't really like, clenching my butt. It was more so like, what's gonna set this off?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Like, there was so much going on and so many people doing so many different things. It was exactly how we called it too. It was everybody was going there for one reason. Mm-hmm. Cassian Andor. And yep. It was just like, it definitely didn't go the way I thought it was going to go, though.
Nope. Not at all.
And that's the part that threw me for the loop. I was not expecting the rebellion to kick off there on the road. I think that was like the best part too, because they were just talking about like the Marva's dialogue in all of that was phenomenal.
Incredible.
Just goosebumps, dude. Like that whole call to arms speech was just, man, I love how she equated the Empire to rust.
Yes.
And how the rust spreads when you sleep. And I thought that was so great. That's an amazing analogy. And that's a great way to look at, like, because it's not as aggressive as an infection, right? Like an infection is like it overtakes its host very, very quickly. It's rampant, but the empire is slow. You know, it kind of just like weeds its way in there very, very slowly, meticulously. And you come to a point where you're desperate and you need it because without it, you'll die. And you know that. And I thought that's what was so cool.
I don't know the name of the guy, but the guy that tried to sell out Cassian to me.
He looks familiar.
I don't know his name. I can't even find him on IMDb because there's just so many people in this episode. But his face during that speech told the entire story. Yeah. Yeah. And I it wasn't like we said it was going to play out, but it also was exactly how we said it was going to play out at the same time. And just the whole like Miro arriving there was a big deal because I was like, well, how she needs to be here. What's going to be her role in all of this? And then I saw her like she's going house to house with death troopers and trying to figure out.
Oh, yeah, dude. I honest to God, at one point I thought Deidre was done. And I was like, is this her? Is this it? Is this how they kill her off? But I'm really happy they didn't. I really like how they kind of like saved her ass because I thought she was going to get hung. I was like, oh, that's it. She's getting hung in the square. And
we have a really weird what feels like man, a love story coming on.
Oh, my God. His infatuation with her is gross. It's honestly it's stalkerish. And I thought he was going to kiss her.
Yes.
Did you I had this feeling that he was going to try to stick his tongue down her throat. And it just like it was uncomfortable. That entire thing. She's like. She was really close and like shaking. She's like, I think I should say thank you now.
Just like, oh yeah, you should just leave because this guy, he wants something.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen too. I was like, in 2022, I don't think this is going to fly if you go this route, but they didn't.
It felt really weird. But yeah, like Deidre's entire, like getting to that, the final scene with her, that was intense.
Yes.
Because man, did she have a climb? She quickly climbed her way to the top. And boy, howdy, I think this moment is going to push her even farther to crushing the rebellion.
Because
now it's personal.
It's personal. The Anton Krieger massacre, they didn't.
Oh, she was pissed.
She was, that's her superior officer. She's not supposed to be talking to him like that.
Oh, no. She talks to him as if they are on the same level. And I find that really, really interesting. And that tells me that Deidre is going to continue to just like escalate her way through the ranks.
Yep. Yeah. And I loved what Partagaz said back to her, though. He's like, you want to impress me? Like, find axis. Yeah, you want to impress the emperor? Find axis.
Well, I like how he said that this was to clean the taste from the emperor's mouth. And I thought that was really interesting. So I took that as this is a way to get the emperor to stop asking questions. This is a quick solution so that we can continue the actual mission of finding Axis and that he needed bodies. He needed to say, hey, we took care of this little cell, this little outburst of rebellion. Things are good, sir. You know, that's what Krieger felt. And that's what everybody wanted. That's what Luthen. Holy crap. I almost went Harry Potter. That's what Luthen wanted, you know, and that's what he was telling him is like, we need to sacrifice him. We need to use this opportunity. And he did. And everyone has been playing into Luthen's hands every time. He is super smart and I love him. And I'm so happy that it went the way that it did with him and Cassian.
Dude, Cinta just stabbed that guy.
Yeah, I love the whole, there's blood on your jacket. It's not mine. But that's another one that I thought to be really, really interesting because those two, I don't think they're going to go back to Luthen. I think they're going to go off on their own.
I also felt like Vel didn't really need to be there.
Vel's presence there felt really awkward. She looked like a brokenhearted puppy.
Like, and Cinta
looks kind of lovesick and she was like, why don't you miss me? And she's like, I've got a fucking mission to do. It was kind of sad boy vibes. And I was just like, here she's busy. She was not interested because she was more so because that goes, it all stems back to the first couple of episodes where it was all about putting everything on the line for the cause. And that's what Cinta's doing. And Vel's like, pay attention to me. I love you, which I think is cute. And I totally get it, but wrong time, wrong place, babe. Sorry. Let the lady work.
Yeah. And I think that was what Cinta was getting mad about, you know, like we're
most
here.
Definitely.
This is probably the climax of everything we've worked on so far. And you like, you want a hug.
She expressed that openly too. She's like, this is important.
Yeah.
So,
And she apparently knew that guy was Imperial in the last episode. Remember, we weren't sure.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if they were like, I feel like between last week's episode and this week's episode, whatever the time that she was spending there, because he was getting kind of sloppy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He was kind of just like chilling out, like looking at it, and he would like go to the bar. And then she's also very smart, so she had to notice what he was doing. So I think at some point she definitely caught on. I don't think the first time that they like talked, I don't think she knew. Maybe she did, but it wasn't very obvious that she knew he was ISB.
So if you remember Cassian's little monologue, the one that played in the trailer, and he talks about the pride of the Empire when he's talking about how he can sneak in and just walk in as one of their own, but yeah. They're so proud of themselves and puffed mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. That is literally what kicks off the rebellion, essentially, because they could have just let that thing play. They would have put the stone on and that would have been the end of it. They wouldn't have fought. I guarantee you it would have been a nice sentiment, been like, yeah, these are assholes, but whatever. But because he went over and threw the jacket on B2 to stop the Hollow, it was like a powder keg.
But you have to also, a lot of this stems from, they were using the guy from the first three episodes when he was doing his, the monologue, when he's talking about oppression is a mask that masks fear. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so awesome because that's what it was. Like that was fear. That was the fear of, oh my God, if this continues to play out, like they're going to kick our ass. And so it was like, let's shut this up. And like, and that was a perfect showcase of that right there. And again, I just have to say, this plays really, really well into what's going on in the world right now. So yep. It's just like, it's great. Like this, like, again, I ended it as soon as the credits rolled. I just looked at it. I was like, that was a perfect way to end this season. Like everything, yeah. It was just so good. There's nothing that happened this episode that made me go, eh, like it was fantastic. And honestly, there are very few moments where in this entire show, in all 12 episodes, have I gone, eh, like I am so happy we had this show. And I know I was one of the biggest naysayers when this first got announced. I was like, how the fuck are they going to make Cassian Andor exciting?
It did.
But what it is, Kevin, is it's not just Cassian Andor.
No, it's like you said last week.
That's what I said last week. And the showcase it again. They have used so many different people to tell this story from so many different angles. And I think that's why I keep wanting to come back, because it's telling the same story from so many different points of view. I really, really like that. It reminds me of Last of Us Part 2, getting the same story from two different perspectives. Well, now you're seeing it from like four different perspectives. Like it's not the same events replaying over and over again, but you're getting the camera angles from all of these different characters. And it's a great way to storytell. And I love it. And I think I think people are naysaying or hesitant to watch it because of the name.
It's interesting because Disney is putting more effort to get people to watch this than I have seen with any of their other shows.
Which is nutty because it feels like it just sells itself. Like the action is great. I mean, like Cassian's doing fucking hip throws and shooting people in the chest.
He took down a death trooper.
That was awesome, dude. I mean, like it was like the choreography for this, the dialogue, whoever wrote for this. Oh my God. Fantastic. The CGI, beautiful. The practical sets, breathtaking.
Yep. The pacing, never felt
phenomenal.
It never felt like not Star Wars. And
no,
the fact that they didn't use a volume.
Yeah.
Speaks volumes, no pun intended.
There was no lightsabers in this, Kevin. Ever.
I know. Not even Mandalorian resorted to it.
Not a single mention of the Force, other than a Kyber crystal and may the Force be with you, I think, at one point. But other than that, crazy religions, you know, there was nothing, and it felt so Star Wars. It's not even funny.
Dude, hammer guy, Sparta kicking the stormtrooper off the tower.
Oh my God. I was waiting for him to get blasted out of the tower. Like was a Saving Private Ryan. And he was like, I want that to stop. I was like, there's a light tank right there. He'll just turn the turret and blast him out, because that's what I would have done. But he sent a stormtrooper up there to go stop the guy, and he gets Sparta kicked off. That was so awesome.
The only other thing
he was going to use the mallet and hit him on the head.
that's what I was really, I was really hoping he was gonna go full Thor and just bop. But it was right. still really good. I think that slab is Beskar, by the way.
It looks like some sort of.
I never really looked at the detail of it when they got a top down shot at it and you could see like all the grooves and stuff. It was whatever that is. I love that set piece. Again, the detail of the show, fantastic.
The that's what makes the whole Ferrix. I don't want to say religion because it's not a religion, but the custom.
It's culture.
The custom and the culture of the funeral process, like we talked about last week with the stone. We saw the stone this week.
Yeah.
Because it's a very blue collar society. Mm-hmm. And it was just so interesting to see. But at the same time, you know that part of the reason that they're posturing is in defiance because they did it at the time that they weren't supposed to.
Uh-huh.
They had way more people than they were supposed to. And the Empire thought they're all slick by laying like they want us, but it was 30 and they asked for more. So we allowed them 40. And then all of a sudden that's hundreds of people.
I think that was done on purpose so that Cassian could get Bix out. That was, I think that was a part of it too. I think there was a bigger part to that, but I think a lot of these plans were already kind of like put into motion. And Cassian used that as the ability to then go get Bix, which I thought was like super smart. The gentleman's name, the big guy, totally forget Brasso. His name. He's great. I thought he was awesome. And he was definitely the person. He was like, I'll take care of Marva. You go get Bix. Like I definitely think that he was a part of orchestrating that entire uprising. Like it just felt so good. Like all of that, just even him like standing here at the stone and then like using it as a weapon. It was like, yeah, Marva gets some too. She was just right there in the fight.
Was that our first Star Wars pipe bomb, by the way?
I think so. Well, when he was putting the blast cap on, I was like, oh, that's a pipe bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this is very terrorist. It's very good. You could see like he's looking at his dad, you know, like that was his spark, you know, like that was his reason for rebellion. Again, back to that line. Everyone has their own. Everyone's fighting their own rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was fantastic because that's what he was doing. He was fighting it for his reason, right? You know, his reason was his dad. And you know, everyone has their own reason as to why they're upset. And again, it goes back to the one guy who got crushed by the cart, what he was saying is like, you have so many people who are fighting for the cause without even knowing they're a part of it. You know,
Nemec.
Nemec and his manifesto. It is true because it's like it was crazy to think like you've got all these planets in the outer rim that are all going through the same level of stuff. You know, they're all getting oppressed and their planets are getting stripped and all these things are getting enslaved and they're all fighting against this common enemy without even knowing. And that's the really cool thing about the rebellion as a whole. It's like it's all these people, all these cultures, all these things coming together to fight this one cause. And that was cool. I liked it. I also loved how he broke down like tyranny, like in his manifesto that was playing. Cause that was like really the first time that we had heard it. And he was talking about, how like how tyranny is used and how it leaks and like all that entire part right there was really, really cool.
I can read it for you.
Yeah, please do. Cause it was really interesting to hear. Cause it was like, man, that really is the Empire, because the Empire, you really do think of it as this, like this machine, this well-oiled machine. Like there's no way anything could go wrong. But then when you start to really look at it, you're like, wow, this really is a fucked up system.
All right. I'm doing this off the subtitles. So bear
yeah,
with
go for
me.
It.
There will be times when the struggle seems impossible. I know this already. Alone, unsure, dwarfed by the scale of the enemy. Remember this. Freedom is a pure idea. Love that.
Yeah.
It occurs spontaneously and without instruction.
Yeah.
Random acts of insurrection are occurring constantly throughout the galaxy. There are whole armies and battalions that have no idea that they've already been enlisted in the cause.
There we go.
Remember that the frontier of the rebellion is everywhere. And even the smallest act of insurrection pushes our lines forward. And then remember this. The imperial need for control is so desperate because it is so unnatural. Tyranny requires constant effort. It breaks, it leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Authority is brittle. Oppression is the mask of fear.
Yeah.
Remember
it's,
that.
It's good. Yeah, it's just and that know was this, so good.
The day will come when all these skirmishes and battles, these moments of defiance, will have flooded the banks of the Empire's authority, and then there will be one too many. One single thing that will break the siege, Luke. Tell me this, because you know I'm a history buff. I got insane, because remember at the beginning, I was like, this feels like, you know, American Revolution, you know, the hiding and all that stuff. The marching in the square with what I would say is the fife and drum from the 1770, like our rebellion as a country. The same thing, the drums, the flutes.
I mean, it could be, I mean, it could be equated to like the shot heard around the world.
It just felt like a call to that when they did the drum.
Yeah, like, it could definitely be like a throwback to like the Boston Massacre, you know, like which essentially like, which just kind of was, it was like, it was the powder keg waiting to explode and they needed one reason for it to explode. And it was a snowball, literally a snowball. And so like, that's really interesting, you know? Yeah, most definitely. Like, yeah, the entire season, it all built up to this moment. And I think they did a great job of just showing all of the different pieces that had to get put into play in order for this game to work. And it's very, very interesting to see the nervous characteristics that you see on both sides of the playing field as well. Like Luthen, he's interesting to me because he's so confident in himself and he's so ready to give it all. And at the same time, he was so worried about Cassian. And that was the biggest, that was the weirdest thing for me, is that he was so worried about this asset just ruining everything. Instead of going and seeking him out and being like, hey, you did a great job, kiddo. You want to join my merry band of rebels? He was ready just to put the asset out, which was very, very Bourne Identity. Very like CIA, very much so like the asset's done, time to terminate. We have no need for you anymore. But instead he saw it was much easier. He saw that Cassian was on board. And so it'd be far easier to use the asset than it would be to terminate. And I thought that was really cool because again, it goes back to that whole like Mission Impossible, Bourne Identity, James Bond kind of vibe that we've been shooting for with this show. And again, nailed it. Killed it. And it took me a while to figure out like what was Luthen like really trying to do here. I really thought it was he was nervous at one point, and then at the other point again I just saw it as like a Bourne Identity kind of thing. But I think he was truly worried that Cassian was going to be the thing that was going to unravel it all, which I thought was really interesting because he had so many other assets on the field and in play. Cassian was such a wild card for him. And I thought that was really, really interesting because he did resort a lot of effort and energy into finding him.
Yeah.
Instead of turning his eye to the Empire and focusing on whatever his next plan was. And that was the problem with the girl, his assistant. She was constantly being like, you're messing up. You're not sticking to the plan.
Right.
And I think Luthen kind of saw it as it, maybe he saw the bigger picture before. Maybe that's why he was like, we'll take him in and then we'll kill him instead of just kill on sight. I don't know. I'm not, like, he's still like trying to figure out what his grand scheme is still up in the air for me. And I'm so happy we get him for the next season. Like those two together made me so happy because I was worried that Cassian was going to kill him in the cockpit. I thought that was it. He got locked out of his controls and everything, which I thought was wild.
I felt like Luthen was there to assess, like, do I need to eliminate the asset? Is, you know, what's happening here? Because once everything went down, he just took a step back and watched.
He just watched it all. But that's what he does, too.
Yeah, because he's got to move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you need your leaders in your rebellion. So that's his philosophy. So I don't necessarily think he went there like, I'm going to kill him. More so like, do I need to kill him, was kind of the vibe I had.
I see. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, do I need to eliminate the loose end? It's very, again, Bourne Identity, Mission Impossible esque. So that was what I got from Luthen. As far as Miro, I'd love to know what happens to her now. She's the one I'm the most like, what happened? What's next for her? Is she going to get in trouble when she goes back? Like, how is this going to play out for her at ISB?
I don't know. I think Deidre's definitely going to get, I think she's going to get in trouble with this. I think they're going to see that like her want
to, like, instead of like pressure, and she's very much so an observer, you know, much like Luthen. She wants to see what'll happen. And then strike, instead of like, I strike first and ask questions later. She definitely, she would rather go in there and just be like, okay, let's see how this plays out. Let's take what we need and then get the information and then act on it. Whereas like other people, like the Empire is very much so a knee jerk. They're very much so like, let's just quick react. Let's try to control the situation and then we'll reassess. So yeah, I think she's definitely going to get in trouble for the rebellion on Ferrix, because now I think Ferrix is fucked. They're gonna have so much more Imperial occupation. It's gonna be gross. Or there's gonna
Marva said it though. They're here to stay. Like, they're not just here temporarily. Right. And she's right.
I really liked what she said about how, like, we took their money and they left us alone.
Yep.
That was really like, that was interesting to me. Again, it's that the analogy of Rust of like, it's a slow moving entity. It's this thing that creeps on you when you least expect it. And it's true, because like for the longest time on the Outer Rim, they were seen as the blue collar, like, you just like, they're not to be worried about, right? So like, you know, we'll just, you know, do our things and then we'll get out. And the Outer Rim got absolutely, you know, obliterated during the Clone Wars, so they're trying to pick up the pieces from that crap. And then now they've got this Imperial occupation because they want to strip their planet. So it's just like they can never win, you know? And so they're just trying to skate by the best that they can. And unfortunately, the best that they could do was bring the enemy into their front door, which sucks, because it's like sometimes siding with your enemy is the only way that you can survive. And you hope that those boundaries that are set in place, those handshakes that you've made and all these agreements that you've had, hopefully they stay in place. And that's what it is. You live on hope. Your security and your comfort comes from the hope that people will keep up their end of the bargain. And that's terrifying.
Yep. Make a deal with the devil.
You have to make a deal with the devil. And at the end of the day, you've got some psychopath with their finger on the Death Star button. So, you know, here we are.
Speaking of, that is what they were building in the facility.
But we didn't know what for the Death Star they were building. It's the main array for the Death Star.
That Which loops cool, dude. Right back around to Rogue One.
It looks so because in Rogue One we actually see the disc array getting put into the Death Star, and in that scene it's completely expanded out. I love seeing all the little robots that were fixing it and everything. That was really cool.
Yeah, no,
really neat.
We knew it was something. I figured they would tell us, if you didn't watch after the credits, by the way, spoilers. Go watch,
because thanks to Cam for tweeting at me, because I didn't know there was a after credits, and he was like, what do you think of the after credits? I'm like, oh no.
Last thing on the episode I think that we should cover is the genius of Mon Mothma.
Oh my god, dude, I loved how she flipped it on her husband.
4D chess,
dude. She already knew that the driver was dirty.
I mean, we all knew that.
And then she had to figure out how to explain where all this money went. Well,
she did
on the gambler.
So
how he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, I swear to God, I haven't done anything.
You ever have that conversation with your wife, Tim, where you're like, what do you mean?
With many people, we're like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, I don't know. The streamer said that. Well, that's what they said.
I didn't say that.
Let me add them. You know, I loved it. He was like, I'll just tell me who it is and I'll tell you why they're saying that shit. That's it. Apparently, he has a bunch of enemies too, which I thought was so funny, which plays into what we're talking about. He's dirty and he's played with dirty money. He knows dirty people.
I'm telling you that theory.
I don't like this guy.
The theory that we love is that he's actually part of the rebellion.
Oh my god. Could you, he's like a general and he's like, fuck, she's blowing my cover.
If only we had communicated from the beginning like a good married couple.
This marriage is ruined.
Well, and then obviously we saw that the arranged marriage, the daughter looked happy.
She looked happy, and the kiddo was like, can I go play Xbox?
Yeah, he was like definitely an iPad kid.
I mean, like, what 13-year-old would it be an iPad kid at that age?
He hangs out with Luke from Obi-Wan, and then they play Fortnite together.
Do you have Fortnite on that?
I'm sure kid's great. I'm sure he's awesome. There was a scene where he just looked like he
was an iPad kid.
Just plays iPad all the time. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you let your kid play iPad all the time, that's fine.
Not all the time.
Not you. I'm not talking to you, Kevin. This isn't. We're not talking about you.
I feel attacked, Tim. I need sanity. I just need like an hour sometimes.
iPad.
Kevin's twitching right now. If you're listening.
Yeah, because I got the one iPad that's like covered in just crust at this point from that's all disgusting. The shit that's been it's been through and whatever at this point. I don't care. So, yeah, I mean, season two, where do they go from here?
Oh, man. Well, I mean,
we know how it ends.
We know how it ends. And so now this is where the game starts. I think this is where all like the really crazy adventures with Luthen and like just like it, the balls to the wall stuff is going to happen here.
Full blown, we're in it now.
I mean, like the rebellion has started. I mean, this is going to be siege on weapon caches and like train heists and like all this shit. I mean, like it's going to be like when you get into Mission Impossible, like the later ones are like, you know, like Bourne Identity, like 3. You know what I'm talking about? You know, like when it's just like they just cranked the action up to 11. I feel like that's what we're going to get because we got bits and pieces of it. I think they're going to lean heavy more into like the spy stuff because now the scene has been set. Like we know we've got all the characters, their backstories have been filled. All of the pieces are in play now. So now we just get to play around with it.
They're going to obviously. So here's my 2 cents. Is the Empire is going to crack down because of what happened on Ferrix across the galaxy. They're going to use Ferrix as an example of this is why we need order. We need security. And just like the manifesto says, the more you tighten the grip out of that fear and you try to oppress, the more you're going to get pushed back on. And that's what's going to really start to keep it because they had things to an extent, they had it under control. Like it was manageable. They had their few moments. But the harder they grip that fist, because Ferrix, like they said, they took the money and they were just running things like it was.
And that was okay. That was fine.
That was fine. But now they're going to tighten their grip. And that is what's going to keep these little uprisings, like the Nemec says, you know, the people that are enlisted and they don't even know it yet. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to, and everyone's going to fight their own rebellion because little things are going to happen and whatnot. Yeah, Paul just brought up. We've seen some of it. And yeah, I think we're going to see more of it. The terrible things for the rebellion. You know, there's people dying. There's characters dying in this season. I think it's going to get worse. Like I said, we saw our first pipe bomb. I have a feeling the insurgency in that side of the violence is going to intensify, like you're saying, with the action and whatnot, where they're blowing up facilities. They're stealing. They're, you know,
it's gonna our, be, our it's classic gonna be a Western lot of, stuff. It's going to be a lot of now. How do we arm the rebellion? How do we get the foothold for the rebellion placed so that we have a base? You know, like we haven't even been to Yavin yet. Like, what if this showcases the starting of, you know, the Yavin 4 base? Saucy temples and things like that.
They said we're going to Yavin next season.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that makes sense. So now we'll see, you know, potentially we could see, you know, the beginnings of that and the uncoverings of the Masasi temples and like the cool stuff, you know, the nerdy shit. I don't think we're going to get a lot of like crazy canon. I don't think this is the right show to be doing a lot of like backstory, like canon stuff, because they haven't done a lot of that. They've done a little bit here and a little bit there, a little nod to that. A little bit of like info on some things, but other than that, they've been really light. And I honestly really appreciate it because we know a lot about this time period. We don't need a lot of like backfill. There's already a lot of literature. There's comic books. There's a lot of things there. So now just getting to really see it on the screen has been phenomenal. Some of our predictions didn't come to fruition. We didn't see Thrawn.
Normal.
Who is the one guy from Obi-Wan that we thought was going to show up?
Him. I know who you're talking about.
We thought Roken was going to show up. That didn't happen. Any other predictions that we had where we were like, oh, this, I totally feel like this is going to happen, and it didn't.
Mm-mm.
I feel like I don't think it really set us up for a lot of like, what do you think is going to happen next? Because they were really good about setting up what was going to be the next act.
We said it was Mission Impossible, Bourne Identity in Star Wars, and we said like this is the seed of the rebellion. This is how it all starts. So we were pretty on the nose.
I just like how different the acts are too. The first act was a bank heist. Mm-hmm. The second act was a prison break, mm-hmm. and the third act was a rebellion. Like, yep. how dope is that, dude? And it was so, and each, if you break it up into segments, they all feel very, very different from each other. We didn't go back to Tatooine. We didn't go to Hoth. We didn't go to any planet really that was familiar to us. We didn't really, like, even the stuff on Coruscant was not familiar to me. It all felt very different. We got to see more of like what it was like to live as a middle-class citizen in Coruscant, you know, how far down the levels went and what an apartment looked like. We got to see inside the ISB. We got to be inside the Changela embassy. Like, that's so neat. And these are POIs that you would never think of. Usually when you go to Coruscant, what do you see? The Jedi Temple and the Senate building.
Senate building.
That is it. Those are usually, and Padme's apartment. That's it. That's usually all that you see. And because like they made those set pieces so big and luxurious for the time, like go back to the prequels, like massive statues that are, you know, hundreds of feet tall and all these large drapes. And you don't see a lot of that in this. Everything's really tight. Everything feels relatable. I feel like every building we went into, I was like, I could see myself walking other than being like inside the actual, Senate building. The Senate building is a little insane, like just like all of that. But other than that, ISB offices, like all that felt very relatable. And I think that's another thing with using practical sets, Kevin, is that it hooks you in because you feel like you could be there. It didn't feel so far outside the stretch of reality. And I really appreciated that. Like, I thought that was so cool. Like, hell, even when Luthen is when he is escaping from a tractor beam, the use of shrapnel to blow apart that tractor beam disc was so cool. And it made so much sense, right? It wasn't anything like he used the Force. You know, he used pieces of metal to rip apart a ship. Like, that's awesome. That's so cool. So this is probably one of my favorite pieces of Star Wars content right now. And I love Obi-Wan. I think they've done an amazing job with The Mandalorian. Boba Fett was really fun for me. It's just this show, it really brings to light the stuff that you've always, that I've wanted to see in the Star Wars universe. Because it's not the magic, it's not the lightsabers, it's not the Force, which is so cool. But at some point, it gets so harped on, it gets utilized so often. And I think that the older that I get and the more Star Wars that I have come to assimilate into my life, as far as, you know, with comic books and audiobooks and movies and shows, I really have come to enjoy the stuff that isn't traditional. I really like the stuff. I'm like, man, I wish I knew what this was, you know, like all like just the cool stuff that happens behind the scenes. Like, I really hope that Star Wars continues to go down this road as well. Like, we need the lightsaber duels. We need the Force. We need those things, because those are our anchors. But to explore this part, like in the Rogue One, or even like in Solo, like going down those routes too, I hope we continue down, because I really think this is special. And I think this is a formula for success as far as like when it comes to like what, like other things that Star Wars fans can get excited about. Like, this is it. And I really hope that season one will get the light of day that it deserves. And I really hope season two pops off, because like this show deserves a lot of love, and it's a masterpiece, dude. There's not a piece of this show that I can be like, I didn't like that. And I love that. I really, really love that there is really nothing for me. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are probably listening and be like, I disagree. And that's totally fine. But for the love. Yeah, no, I like having those discussions too, because like when I had a discussion like that on stream, I had someone come in there like, I don't like Andor. I was like, well, why don't you like Andor? And like, I wish that there was the Force. I wish there was lightsabers and stuff like that. And we had this whole like conversation about like why Andor is so different. And someone was like, man, that's all. I should go back and try it. Cause they only gave it like, they only watched the first two episodes. And I was like, holy shit, you gave up after episode two. Like, that's nutty that you didn't even like try to like, you know, continue watching. So, yeah, I think that's like my one big hope is that everybody gives Andor a try, because goddamn, what a show.
So two things. Tony Gilroy was the showrunner. This was one of the five episodes he wrote too. So makes sense.
It was great. What was the other episodes that he did?
I don't know if it listed out here.
It's funny when like the when he wrote, we find
It's just the names of the episodes.
Oh, okay.
He wrote the first episode, I know that, and the last one, and then three in the middle.
It was like that with Mandalorian. There's specific directors that I really, really like, and I can tell when it's theirs because I go, oh, I really like that one. And then you'd be like, oh, that was done by, and I'm like, oh, that's like three out of three for me for this one.
Yeah, like Robert Rodriguez is my least favorite Star Wars director.
He is. Yeah, he's got a really different style, and it doesn't jive with me. But yeah, like Bryce Dallas Howard, I love her.
Yes.
Love her.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Oh my God. Like, I don't think she's done an episode where I was like, that's shit.
Like, no, we were getting excited at the ones she directed. Like, we were like, oh, Bryce did this one, Tim.
Who did Obi-Wan? Jessica.
Oh.
Damn.
I forget her name. She did a phenomenal job, too. She only did season one of Mandalorian, though.
Yeah, but she's also another director that I just absolutely love. She did a great job. So I'll have to definitely...
Deborah Chow. Yep. Deborah Chow. There was one of the other ones that I liked. He did the Prison Break Mandalorian episode that I really enjoyed that Clancy Brown was in. I forget his name. It's bothering me.
Oh, yeah. Clancy was the the guy.
The Deveronian.
Yeah.
Rick Famuyiwa. I love his episodes. And Dave's episodes are good, too, as well, obviously. And Taika. But Taika only did that one episode. And don't forget, Carl Weathers acted and directed as well. I noticed because they're re-showing the trailer that they showed at Celebration, and it's making its rounds again, and everyone's like, oh, new trailer. I'm like, no, that's the one that leaked after. So anyway, I noticed that Carl Weathers, when he greets Din in the trailer, he's in this like really decadent robe, and everything behind him is really built up. So it seems like the city that they're Navarro is like thriving and growing like crazy.
Oh, I didn't think he was on Navarro.
Oh, maybe he's not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Because he runs the Bounty Hunters Guild.
Hmm.
So my assumption was that was like the HQ for the Bounty Hunters Guild.
Oh, it could be.
That's what I thought. I'm going to have to go back and look at it again because I didn't think we were on Navarro. Navarro was a shithole.
Yeah, I don't know.
Another one of those backwater planets. Anyways, Star Wars.
Game Awards. Jedi Survivor.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Jedi Survivor is going to get apparently, so they say. It's going to get an announcement date at the Game Awards show, which doesn't surprise me because now the only time that we can get game drops is Summer Game Fest and Game Awards show. So
yes, the only person that will allow us to see game trailers is Jeff Keighley.
Yes, Jeff Keighley. Thank you, Keighley.
Thank you, Lord and
Thank
Savior Keighley.
Lord Gatekeeper Keighley,
for allowing us to see this Jedi Survivor trailer.
I'm never going to work with him at this rate.
I don't really watch the Game Awards anymore because it literally turned into like not the Game Awards. So I just wait until
the trailer showcase with some trophies.
Yeah. So I just wait until people tweet what I need to see at me, and it works great.
I just like I like to watch it on Twitter, but I don't like being on Twitter right now. So I don't know.
I don't like social media.
I don't know.
I'm old school, not liking being on Twitter.
I don't know. I just like there's like you're right because that's what the Game Award show has turned into. It's just like it ends up being awards for games. You're just like, I don't understand how this fucking thing won. I played that game and I still don't know how it won.
When Jedi Fallen Order wasn't nominated for Game of the Year that year
because it released like 2 weeks too late or something stupid.
I was like, I'm out. You can all go fuck yourselves.
It was like in time so that like Red Dead made the cutoff or Spider-Man or something, and Jedi Fallen Order missed it, and it made no sense.
And then when there was actually people like, oh, God of War might not win. I was like,
oh, yeah, also everyone thinks Elden Ring is going to beat out God of War, and I just don't see that happening.
I haven't played. I played Elden Ring. I haven't played God of War yet, so
you beat
I
Elden
can't
Ring?
Comment. No, God, no. Oh, okay. Are you kidding me? You've seen me play video games?
You're a map clearer. You would not be able to finish that game.
No, my anxiety would.
Mm-hmm. You would want to go clear a point, and it would be way over leveled for you.
Yep,
and
exactly.
Like, fuck this.
Yeah, 100%. So before we go to the juicy news everyone wants to hear, at Sao Paulo Comic Con, CCXP, it's called. Supposedly, we're going to get some information on Mando season 3. I don't think it'd be anything like crazy, but it might be some nuggets of information that we don't already know. So be on the lookout for that. That is this weekend. So be interesting to see if we get any Mandalorian news from that. Sometimes it does happen where they, you know, say something and then they want the news to go out. So it hits the wire and we all find out about it. So we'll see. But encouraging. They haven't confirmed that February date yet. That's the only thing that's worrying me. So
Bad Batch. Have a confirmed Bad Batch date?
It's January something. It's right after January 1st. I can't remember. It's either 3rd, 9th, something like that. It's right that first week.
Because someone asked me, they're like, what's left on Disney Plus now that Andor's over? And I was like,
lots.
I was like,
the only thing that got canceled is Rangers of the New Republic. Everything else is still on the table.
No, they're talking about immediately. They're like, what's next? Like, what are you going to be watching? I was like,
Bad Batch is next. Mandalorian. Ahsoka is next year.
That's not till next. That's all not till next year. So right now we've got the on Disney Plus, it's the Santa Claus.
Willow.
That is in Willow. So as far as, and there's no Marvel, right? Marvel, there's no Marvel going on right now. We'll get Wakanda Forever dropping, I would assume, sometime next month.
Yeah, before Christmas.
Yeah, before Christmas for sure, because they're going to want to like get people on Disney Plus. So we'll get Wakanda Forever if you haven't seen that in theaters. Willow and that. And then when we go into the new year, yeah, New Year's going to be heavy. We'll get Bad Batch. We'll get Mando. And then Ahsoka's in the summer, right?
Yeah, supposedly.
It's supposed to be in the summer, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Marvel stuff sprinkled out throughout that as well, right?
Acolyte could release by this time next year, too.
Yeah, that's slated for the end of 2023.
Yeah. I'm not abiding by that because you know how production delays happen.
It's most definitely going to get pushed. There's no way it doesn't.
So we'll,
I don't believe any of the end of the year things because we did that for Boba and we've done that for Mando and we're disappointed every time.
Yeah, Bad Batch is January 4th. Visions is next year too.
Yep,
season 2. So
we're gonna be in a little Star Wars hiatus as far as shows go for a little bit, and then
plenty of books coming out. There's a Fallen Order.
Yeah,
Convention.
I went looking through. Yeah, dude, I went looking through Audible. There's a lot of Star Wars books coming out soon.
Yep. Yeah, there's a ton of High Republic. There's a ton for regular era.
There's one, a part of that Jedi series, like Jedi Fallen Order, Jedi Survivor. There's a Jedi book coming out.
Yeah, yeah, it's in tandem with the game.
I would assume. Okay, so it is. Okay, excellent. Yep. I wonder if that'll go into more of like the lore and stuff that we like. They'll like maybe like touch on, and then you're like, okay, I gotta go read the book. Or what if you read the book before?
There's also a ton of comic series coming out next year. I think they start in like January 2nd or something with some new comics. So there's going to be plenty of material. It's just not going to be on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So this is a great time to dive into all the ancillary content that Tim and I talk about all the time. You're not finishing.
So this one's called Star Wars Jedi Battle Scars.
Ooh.
But they don't have any. So this is the summary. Cal Kestis leads the Mantis crew on an adventure set between Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and the highly anticipated Star Wars Jedi Survivor. You have to read this book before Survivor comes out.
That's a prequel.
Holy fuck, Kevin. Ooh. This comes out March 7th. Oh, that means Jedi Survivor is not coming out until after March 7th.
Yeah, it's probably a week or two after that.
There's no way in hell that they're going to put this book out after the fact. So we're not getting February. We're not getting a February or March. I bet you we're either going to get the end of March.
It's slated for March anyway. Everything says March. All the rumors, everything says March.
So do you think we're going to get like an end of March announced, like release date? And like, and while you're waiting, read Jedi Battle Scars.
I don't even know if they'll go that far.
Doesn't our guy in the back to tank, isn't he all scarred up?
Yes, he is. But everyone thinks it's Starkiller.
Yeah, but still. This would give you the backstory. What if this is the official story of who's in the Bacta tank?
I don't think they reveal it in a book, Tim.
You can't give an entire backstory to this guy in a video game, can you?
But then the game would have to come out first. Think about it. The reveal, they're going to want the reveal in the game.
But we already know he exists. We know that this guy is a thing. I mean, you don't ruin his presence. You think giving him a story before the game comes out would ruin the game?
It depends how they did it. If they gave it a story and he didn't have a name,
yeah,
it might work.
Yeah.
And they alluded to things that made it sound like it was Starkiller from the games. Obviously, the games aren't canon.
what if this guy isn't as important as we think he is?
That's also possible.
Also the other thing, like, what if he's just not as important as we thought he was?
And
like,
what if Starkiller is not in the game?
That's the whole thing. It's like, it might be a larger overarching like thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe this is all about the Zephos. I don't know. But it's exciting to see that we've got audio or reading material prior to the game releasing. Like, from a lore perspective, that's so exciting for me.
Get a little hyped up. I'm into it.
I'm a little pumped, dude.
Especially after that High Republic book.
Yeah, to go back to what you were talking about, I'm not finishing that book.
Don't bother. Just watch YouTube.
I don't want to. I enjoyed Shadows of the Sith, and I was on a high with that. And then I started listening to that. And man, did I hate Star Wars.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
I just went full flaccid.
I'm taking a Star Wars book break to cleanse myself. I'm reading a Warcraft book because I'm like, I need a break. Need a minute. Mm-hmm. Need a minute.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the P. De La Rosa Risto.
I like what Paul just said. The one Bob.
One Bob to rule them all. Well, the battle of the Bobs has ended.
Yeah.
And Chapek lost. So apparently, and more information comes out every day.
Master Builder Chapek.
So, that sign's gone probably.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, I wonder if they called in at Castaway K. I was like, can you take that Master Shipbuilder sign down?
Could you burn it at the woodshed?
Can you just put Iger's name back up, please?
Yeah. Could you smear feces all over it before you burn it? Thanks. Chapek got ousted. So at first glance, it seemed like it was like this.
Dude, Chapek was getting. So what is mind blowing to me is that the report 2 weeks ago was saying that Chapek got a 3-year extension on his fucking contract.
He did in June.
What happened?
If you follow the math. Also, if you notice, this all leads into it. So he boasted about having the most profitable quarter of Disney ever. And everyone's like, great, he's here to stay now. This sucks. Mm-hmm. The problem was he was still living off people rebooking vacations from the 5 months off of COVID. So
what
that
got cranked the fuck up?
So here's how the money works. Disney Plus right now is still in an investment phase. It's still growing. They're still fleshing out what it's going to be, what the model is like, and how the data they gather from that can be used elsewhere to monetize into a way that makes them more money. So Disney Plus apparently is running at a loss. I did not know this. So Disney Plus is running
a $1 billion loss in 3 quarters.
Disney Plus is running at a loss right now. And despite all of the acquisitions that Iger made and all of that stuff, people don't stay subscribed like I thought they did. Apparently they subscribe when they want to watch a Star Wars show or a Marvel show or something like that.
That is so weird to me. I find that to be so inconvenient of like constantly unsubscribing and resubscribing to a system unless they've made it really easy to turn that subscription off.
And I have the initial, mine's almost up. I have the initial 3-year subscription from like the deal. I got it for like $5.99 a month or something for 3 years. Oh, and I paid it all up front.
I was doing that. And then I canceled it because I went with the bundled deal instead. I went with the ESPN Plus, the Hulu and Disney Plus because we love Hulu. I did not like YouTube TV. I tried YouTube TV when you were trying it just to see if it was okay. Hated it. The only issue I've ever had with Hulu was like trying to watch the Olympics or watch the Super Bowl and like the overall, there was just too many people on the network and it just kind of crushed it. That's the only time I've ever had an issue with Hulu. ESPN Plus, I don't use all the time, but it is good to have when you're like, oh, I really want to watch this thing. Usually like in UFC fights and stuff are there. So it's just easy. Like that deal is fantastic. So again, to me, like unsubscribing to that is pretty crazy. Just like off and on at that frequency.
So Disney has all these acquisitions. They own most of the content on the platform. So it's really just a user acquisition game and a data game. That's what they're playing. So still running it at a loss. The parks were paying for the loss. The parks were profitable under Iger because of the magic. Now, Evil Bob, decided to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze on the parks. To the point, and we made this point the other day in our DMs, and I'll be completely transparent about this number. Between Tim, Ben, and I, we were annual pass holders. Mm-hmm. That is 5, 4, that's 9 guests going to Disney 4 to 5 times a year easily. Mm-hmm. We always stayed on property. Mm-hmm. We ate there. We would spend money in the parks on merchandise for the kids and for us and whatnot. I would say on average, our family spent about, and this is a rough range, anywhere from $8,000 to $15,000 a year at Disney. I feel like that's a fair number, right?
Yeah, I think that's like if you combine everybody together. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just between our friend group, because even our COO, Mindy, she was going to let her pass as lapse too, because she had re-upped. Mine are done.
Yeah, mine.
Yeah, went. You, me, and Ben don't have passes anymore. Mm-mm. So just between us, that's like a ton of money annually. Now people will come back and say like, well, in Disney's mind, it's not a ton of money. Yes, but that's just two people I know. Just two people that I know. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine the ripple effect to all of the other people that are thinking like us, like, I'm not doing this anymore. This
also doesn't help that you've got Universal Studios knocking at your door.
Lowering their prices.
Then they're getting aggressive on holiday marketing right now to a point I've never seen before.
And they know. Yes, it's everywhere. The Christmas tree ad is everywhere, all over Tampa.
There's Grinchmas all over the place. I mean, like, and it's cute advertising. It's not your traditional, like, come to Universal Studios. No, it's like, it's really good marketing. Like, the commercials are good. It was like, oh, that looks like fun.
Yep. So you have Universal going for the throat, too. Plus, they know they have their Nintendo Ace in the Hole coming out soon.
And they have their new super thing they're working on in Orlando that's not even next to their original properties. It's on the other side of Orlando, their mega theme park.
So all of this is just a powder keg. Apparently, and this is as of like yesterday, I'm reading all this stuff. It was borderline a coup from the board to get rid of him and get Iger back in. Because they were so upset that he boasted and boasted. And then the next quarter earnings come out and he's posting a $1.5 billion loss. And what does he try and do? He's like hiring freeze, this, that, and the other thing, blah, 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 blah. Now, people are complaining, and this reminded me of Bobby Kotick and Blizzard, that because they ousted him now, they still owe him all of the money for his contract. So mm-hmm. he's still going to get paid. Mm-hmm. But they need him gone because he's just absolutely destroying what Disney is and, mm-hmm. you know, bowing down to the almighty dollar. And we know Iger will probably have a rough transition period where he has to like move things. But that man is dedicated to the magic. I don't know if you saw the email.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't see an email. All I've seen so far is that he's already cleaning house.
He sent two company-wide emails. The first one was like, I'm back. And all of the employees for Disney were posting on social media like, thank God.
Dude, the TikToks that I saw from Disney cast members and ex-Disney cast members, everybody was so elated. It was
even
insane.
The Lucas staff, Matt Martin, who's the head of creative at Lucas, was like, man, it was so nice to wake up to an email from Bob Iger this morning. So there was that. The second email basically says, and this was sent to the high level people, like, if you're not ready to bow to the mouse, like, take your severance and walk, because like, we're going to fix this. So it's multi-pronged attack here. Obviously, Chapek was messing up. The board wanted him out. And then the other side of it is Iger sitting there watching his legacy get absolutely ripped to shreds.
He left it at such a high.
Yes. And he left at the worst
thing.
Possible
Disney
time.
CEOs are all about legacy. They all have a shining, and you learn about it in Disney Plus. There's a show that goes through the history of Disney, and it talks about the ups and downs, and it continuously, like, all of the CEOs have talked about leaving their mark, and it always has to be a high. And Iger left it at the biggest high ever. He had all these acquisitions. He built these Disney. He built the Star Wars parks. He got the international parks. He got those back on track. Everybody was being profitable. He opened Disney Shanghai. He did all of this stuff. And he's like, I'm good. I'm going to retire. I'll be here on the side if you need me. Holy shit.
So information is coming out daily. Obviously, we can't trust that it's all true. So I'm just going to convey it as reports.
Sure.
One of the other reports I saw that came out was Chapek was the one blocking Kathleen from making more Star Wars movies.
Oh, so can we?
He didn't see it as dollar signs because of what happened with the trilogy.
Sure.
So he was like, no, we put all our efforts into Disney Plus, which makes sense given that makes sense given how his strategy has been. What his strategy has been.
Can I still be mad at Kathleen Kennedy, though?
Oh, of course. Go for it.
Okay, perfect. All right. I was really hoping that you were like, oh, she's this is why.
No, it just shows you because I feel like Kathleen still would have pumped movies out. It doesn't make sense if she would have stopped.
I think they just would have been low quality movies.
It would have been shit movies, but like she still would have pumped movies out. But I think
thanks Bob Chapek and not thanks Bob Chapek. I mean, like
He stopped us from getting more shitty movies.
Yeah. No, I can concur with that. But yeah, he was the reason we haven't seen a Star Wars movie.
That's
in
wild.
6 years.
I didn't know that he was gatekeeping all that. I didn't know he had that power.
Well, I mean, he went hard on cutting creative across the board in Disney, Lucas, Pixar. Like he was, well, actually,
how do you
Pixar's
kill creative on a thing that thrives on creativity.
He pissed off all the Imagineers. I mean, they're like, that's like,
how
that's
can
like,
you, how, yeah. How do you run Disney without your Imagineers? Like that's literally why, from all everything from software to hardware and everything in between is usually custom made for Disney. Their Imagineers are amazing. Could you imagine? Like, literally, that's the life force of Disney, and you piss them off.
He had Joe Rode leave. Joe Rode was like the Imagineer.
Joe
the guy
Rode
with the
left because of Chapek?
Yes.
Dude, he's the reason we, oh my God, he's the reason we have Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom was his brainchild. Oh my God.
Yeah, Joe Rode left because of Chapek and went to
he works, comes back.
He works for Virgin now. He's like an experience architect at Virgin.
Fuck, that guy is so creative. Like, oh my, I would love to be in his head for a day. Oh, wow. And he worked there for a long time. I mean, like, he's been there forever.
I forget his name. I'm trying to find his name. One of Chapek's cronies was fired immediately.
Oh, the guy who was in charge of distribution.
Finance.
Oh, no, there was another guy. There's a guy who was in charge of Disney Entertainment Distribution, which was the...
He's the guy that set up the new P&L system. Where instead of departmental P&Ls like Iger had it, they funneled all the money, which makes sense with what I'm saying about Disney Plus and the parks. He funneled all of it into one P&L.
Dude, their tax people must have hated them.
Right? So, but that's how Bob wanted. That's how he was able to show the record high.
God, that's some dirty business. I don't like that.
The problem with that is when it all goes down, it all goes down. You can't save it at that point because
that's the whole point of segmenting.
If you departmentalize, you can be like, this department's suffering, but we're doing really good here. So what can we learn from here? What can we do from here that we can apply here? Do we need to shut this down? Like, we can keep this running. But no, he had it all. So that I forget. Kareem, is it Kareem? Is that his name?
There's a couple of people. I got a report yesterday that was talking about.
Kareem Daniel.
That was Chapek's right-hand man.
Yeah, Kareem was ousted the day after Chapek.
And then also this guy who was with distribution, which was Iger. So the division that Bob killed, or at least the head of the division that Bob killed off, he's alive. Bob didn't actually kill him. Was what he created right before he left was this distribution department. And he walks in there and fires the guy. Like he is like Iger is ready to go to war.
No, he's going to, you
in
know,
the
there's
nicest
a
way possible. What's this rumor about Apple?
So the rumor is that, and this is an old rumor that apparently is coming back around. Like the reason Iger's coming back is they can sell Disney to Apple. The reason I don't believe this is because Apple does not have the cash to buy Disney when you do the math. And even with a $1.5 billion loss, I still don't think. But I mean, I'm going to keep an eye on the feeds and see what people are saying. I personally don't buy it again because I just think the cost of buying Disney, Tim,
because it's not just Disney. It is Disney and every other property that it has.
It's so much.
It's Star Wars. It's Marvel. It's Fox. It's ABC. Oh my God. Like it's, you'd need a lot of money. I don't think that's possible.
Paul dropped a quote in here. From the New York Times, in addition to his not so secret digs, Iger had been privately railing against Chapek. Yeah, because they had that whole story about
that's
the birthday party.
That's been going on for months.
The birthday party was the big story that came out. I think it was Chapek's or Iger's. I can't remember.
Iger said that one of his biggest regrets was putting Chapek.
Yep.
As CEO.
And then they went to some birthday party. It was one of their birthdays. They went and everyone was like, it was so awkward between the two of them.
I'm
like,
sure
they were not. So he lamented Chapek's lack of empathy and emotional intelligence. Thank you.
Oh my God. So he's a psychopath.
Think about it though. Like that's what it was. Remember people were like, the parks cost too much. You're taking away our annual pass. You're taking away our reason to go. Nope. The data shows that's a lack of empathy right there. The second you say that, you have no empathy. The data shows, because the data is going to wear out and it's not going to hold up. This is, you are not in the business of a consumer product. You are in the business of an experience. And if you do not maintain the level of the experience that you're offering, people will stop going. Trust
me. Disney is not Netflix.
No. No, it is not a product. It is an experience. Well, Disney Plus is a product. Disney as a whole is an experience, the way they want it structured across the board, where it's unilateral. I mean, from
the
your
things that
Plus
he was talking about with like trying to get Disney Plus, just some of the things where there he was treating everybody like data sets and data points. And it was just like, we can get Disney Plus to link with your Disney account. And then it's going to like the things that you're watching will be able to link into the things that you're doing. And it's just like, it was constant talk of data instead of like, you're right about the magic and how does this enhance the experience and how does this make it better for our guests? Other than how do we get our guests to spend as much fucking money as possible? So by the end of the weekend, they're stressed out of their mind leaving of, oh God, how much money did we spend? Because for a lot of these people that go to Disney World here in Florida, Florida is not seen as the local spot. That's California. California is the local spot, and Orlando is the international destination where people from around the world and around the United States, they see that as that once-in-a-lifetime vacation, right? And so they spend lots of time of saving money and planning all these things. That we've seen it time and time again, Kevin, when people are walking around with a brand new baby.
Yep.
And every once in a while, they're like, oh, we weren't planning for this, but, you know, we still wanted to go to Disney.
Booked this 3 years ago.
Right, exactly. But that's the whole thing, is they want to lock those things in and still go to the experience. Now, could you imagine you locked that in 3 years ago and then you finally go and all the extra stuff that you have to, you know, pay for on top of that? You didn't budget for that. You weren't ready for that.
Yeah, if you like know? Booked in 2019 for 2022 and then all of a sudden like Genie's now the new thing. Genie, you don't have Fast Pass anymore.
You can't find like even the lower rate rooms on property, people don't want to pay for that. They'd rather stay out of off property now.
People out of the country come and they stay for 3 weeks. It's not like a quick weekend like it is for us.
Oh,
like,
it's an experience.
Right.
That might be the one time that they get to come over here.
So,
it's a whole thing. And so, yeah, this most definitely has, I would assume that's hurt them as well. But then they're also like, they're boasting about record numbers for people like entering the park. And so like, that's the other disconnect that I'm having a hard time understanding.
So he lamented Chapek's lack of empathy and emotional intelligence, which resulted in an inability to communicate with or relate to Hollywood's creative community.
Wow.
Scarlett Johansson issue, the Imagineers, like it all adds up. Disney seemed to be losing its soul, Iger confided in one of his associates. So he literally felt the same exact way we did while watching this all go down for the past 2.5 years.
Look at the Star Cruiser. You know, Speaking of,
did you get what I say this morning?
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. Someone posted it in my Facebook group, and they were like, you guys called it. You guys said it was going to happen. And there it was, 30% off.
For Disney Vacation Club members, which means Tim and I are not far behind getting our 30% off to go.
It's coming, dude.
And we'll go. Now I will go. 30% off, I'll go. I will LARP for a couple $1,000s with Tim for a full Disney experience. 100%.
I want to see how far they go first.
We're going to play chicken with them?
Lower.
That's the old price.
Make it 45, Mr. Iger. Well, I see 50.
50. Do I have 50? I mean, but honestly, if we wait till after the holidays, like
that's
March,
insane, dude.
But, or
that's
after insane. Spring break.
Slow time.
And we get emails that nobody else does because we're Florida residents and former pass holders. So they send us emails like, because I'm already getting emails, save 35% if you go in January.
I saw that this morning.
Yeah. So which I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go.
But here's the thing. But that's the thing is like now, you know, the one thing for me is how long is it going to take for Disney to recover? Because I've lost faith in the company. As far as like, I like my Disney Plus subscription, but the overall company when it comes to the Disney experience, and I even felt that on the cruise ship that you know we did the Disney Wish that was a community present from a couple years ago. We finally got to do it, and even that felt very like Disney-fied in the negative sense of like, man, everything's got a price tag on it. It's like microtransactioned out the ass, and it's like, you get it. I mean, it's a cruise ship, sure, but it's still a Disney cruise ship. Like, there are just like things that you would expect people, like, you expect to have that magic, and it just really wasn't there. And so I'm curious to see if like, what, how, first off, how long is it going to take
for them to recover? And what are the things that they are going to do to help accelerate the recovery? Because they are hemorrhaging people right and left.
People will stay now. People will come back now. I guarantee you.
You really think that having one person come back is going to completely change the outward viewing expectations on a company?
Won't be tomorrow, but I guarantee you when we have this conversation next year, right before Christmas, it will be.
I could agree on, but I still want to know, what are they going to do to try to recover? Those are my things. Where are they going to shift the budgets?
So I think they're going to keep the ticket prices and everything where they are. I don't think they're going to touch those because they can't. Like, you can't backtrack on a ticket price. But I think you can get rid of Genie or offer some sort of special on Genie. Maybe pass holders get Genie for free. There's a million options that they can start instituting to get creative here to not completely dismantle what they have in place. And they're not going to just hit the rewind button and go back to 2019.
Right, no, I'm sure there are systems that have been put in place that work really well.
Right. So they're going to analyze those, but Bob's going to weigh profit against the, like you said, the empathy and emotional intelligence to be like, right, is this going to harm the magic? Mm-hmm. And that is how he's going to start weighing things in the park, because Disney Plus is not the problem. It's the parks. That's where the issues are. It's the parks. Yeah. We need to get back. Chapex also the reason all the Disney stores closed down?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I read an article about that. Like, you know, they put all this emphasis on merchandise and having magic and feeling it constantly. Meanwhile, you go to the mall and it's gone. Like, you don't see that. It's an Aeropostale now.
That our Disney store in our mall is gone. Like, that was one of my things that was like, I wonder if they have a new coffee mug. Like, yep, that was something that I liked to do so much, was just walk into the Disney store and just be like, I wonder what merch they have, because I can't go to the parks all the time. But a little bit of the park was right there. And
not anymore.
Away, you know,
you got to go to Target now, which doesn't feel, it's not the same experience.
It's not.
No, it's not. So there's a lot of damage he has to undo before he can move forward. But I think it's again, it's not going to be rewind 2019. I think it's going to be innovation towards, okay, we have these systems in place. How do I add magic? Do I need to remove it to bring magic back, or can I enhance it with magic? That is his mindset, and that's what he's committed to. So I don't think, I think he's got one more blockbuster deal in him, some sort of acquisition or something that's going to just wow us all. I really wanted it to be DC Comics, but
he buys Warner Brothers.
No, after Warner Brothers Discovery hiring James Gunn, I'm like, DC ain't going nowhere now. Like, they're committed. Plus James Gunn is just teasing the fan base. He's been tweeting images and pictures of stuff from certain comics, and people are like, are you that movie? That's not it. But I think he's got one more left in him. I think he can do one more huge acquisition that'll kind of offset all the problems, bring a new IP to the park. Bob could be part of the exit of Marvel from Universal and, you know, completely. I could see him negotiating something with Universal to take Marvel out of Universal, because Universal's not going to want it. They're not going to want to take it to the end. They're going to want to announce what they're doing soon with Epic Universe and stuff coming out of what is going to replace that. And if that's the case, then Bob's ability to bring Marvel to Florida will be huge.
There are so many rides that are in California that I wish we had. Even just like they turned the Tower of Terror into the Collector. Like into like that whole experience is a brand new Guardians of the Galaxy thing that you can do. It's like, fuck, I would rather have that than the Tower of Terror is neat, but it's old and outdated. Nobody really like pays attention to the Twilight Zone stuff anymore unless you grew up with that or love it. But it's like, it's very few and far between. It's very niche. And it's just like, it's one of those things that you do because it's there, but I don't think people really love it for what it is. So, you know, there's a lot of really cool shit. I mean, hell, they've got Avengers Campus that's there in LA, and you can't have it here right now.
No, and I mean the coolest stuff, like the night Loki came out, they had Loki out in his scrubs from the time prison, and Halloween they had zombie Captain America walking around. Mm-hmm. So
there's disconnects, you know, between the parks.
I would like to experience that. And, you know, my California friends are always telling me how great it is. So I would like to experience that. So, I think changes will happen. I think annual passes will be back. I think that royally pissed him off. With him being gone, he can bring them back at a lower price point.
Yeah.
Which I think was part of the problem was he hired.
Well, it was the price point and the things you didn't, you used to get and the things you don't get anymore. Like just like access to pictures. Like just pictures was like a big thing. That was super fun. We got,
which they're being sued for, by the way.
No way.
Yeah, there's multiple lawsuits because what people got in their annual pass holder contracts does not match up with the changes. And Disney did not adhere to the contracts under Chapek.
I didn't know that.
Multiple lawsuits in both states.
Holy shit, Kevin. What a cluster.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, wow.
That guy
wow.
has gotten more litigation against Disney. Plus, he fucked up everything with Florida. So I'm sure Bobby I is going to go to Ronnie D and be like, hey, let's fix this.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure, knowing how Ronnie D is, he Chapek royally pissed him off. And you know, when you piss him off, you can't have a conversation with him because he's a dickhead. I'm sure they'll try and fix that. So, but yeah, so I have a feeling this will be a weekly conversation, Tim.
It'll be something, dude.
Because I have a feeling a lot's going to happen before Christmas, even. And who knows? Maybe Tim and I will be back at Disney by January or February. We'll see.
Don't hold your breath.
We'll see what they do. They might do some sort of Florida, like, welcome back, residents, 50% off. I'm
in. Bob Iger's back.
I will make matching t-shirts for us if that happens. Like, love the Iger.
Yeah.
I'm here because of Bob. No, the other one. Well, thank you for checking out Star Wars and Scotch this week. Andor is a wrap. What a show. Can't wait for season two. Tim and I will be back next week with all the Star Wars news. We'll probably find some other comics, books, and other things to talk about as well in the coming weeks before Bad Batch releases. So stay tuned for that. We got some exciting stuff coming up alongside The Mandalorian as well. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for something really cool we're doing for the Andor wrap. You'll probably see that in early to mid December. So keep your eyes peeled on that. Don't make that face. You know what? I'll tell you afterward.
I'll talk to you after the show, dude.
You know what it is. You're just not remembering. Make sure you go check out Tim Darkness 429 playing the COD. New Tarkov stuff I saw yesterday. Is that what I saw? Like a trailer of some sort?
I haven't looked at anything Tarkov in a bit, Kevin.
Oh, it looked like there was a new trailer yesterday.
I don't know. The hackers got really bad in that game, so I've stopped playing for a bit. So
the hackers. But COD is fun.
It's been fun. It's been a good time.
Battlefield just went on Game Pass and a new season started.
Apparently there's some new weapons coming soon.
So fb.gg/darkness429 and darkness429 everywhere else on the interwebs. You can go follow Tim, TikTok, YouTube, you name it.
Hive.
Hive won't let me sign up for an account. So I'm still not on Hive.
I'm on Hive.
The next button won't show up when I put my information.
You have to use your cell phone number.
I did. Oh, I can't use my Google account?
Use your cell phone number.
Lame. Okay, I'll do that after. Thanks, Tim. Thank you for all of you experiencing the same problem. And I'm Kevin, raredrop.co, brand new website. Go check it out. We will see you next week for Star Wars and Scotch. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe on all of our content. And you can follow us at Star Wars and Scotch on Facebook, Star Wars Scotch on Twitter. And like I said, next week, more Star Wars. Have a good one. May the Force be with you always.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.